Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
So we, of course, have been following the recent tensions in China and the reports that Chinese authorities are using people's social media to try and stem some of the conversations. I've mentioned this before. Some years ago, it was, in fact, during the Arab Spring, when I was in China, and somebody there said to me, "Howard, go into the internet and Google Egypt, because that's where a lot of this type of event was taking place." And I Googled Egypt and nothing came up. That's how powerful it was at the time, because they didn't want people reading about this Arab Spring and these uprisings. So we know that China has a long history of this, but what is really going on now? Professor Joe Ansi van Wyk, Professor of International Politics at the University of South Africa. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Morning. I'm fine. Thank you very much. And also for the invitation.
So I guess the question is this, are these protests really about COVID regulations, or were these protests that were waiting for an excuse?
Yes, I like it that you have taken a step back to just looking at the immediate events. I agree with you that it has been a long time in the making. People have been exposed, Chinese people have been exposed to a wider world for the past decade, perhaps a little bit more. Mm. And of course, as we have experienced ourselves, is that, you know, you get to a point where COVID fatigue is just getting too much to you. And the whole world is going on. I mean, something like the World Cup is going on, and the Chinese people are great soccer lovers, and they probably see some of these crowds or not, and realize that there is a world out there that is happening that does not align with what they are experiencing. Another element China has a very heavy hand in terms of its population. The obedience that we typically see with the Chinese population, the discipline, is, to my opinion, is somewhat cultural, but there is a strong element of oppression going on. It is an undemocratic society, autocratic society, where this kind of spontaneous combustion, so to speak, is really not tolerated. And I think it is also a sign of the immense dangers that can be associated with very intense urbanization, which we have seen in China. It is unclear how widespread these protests are, because, as you have said in your introduction, you know, media from China is very restricted. Information is very restricted. But what I've heard from a South African friend that has been living in China for quite some years is that there are relative number of these events that take place in city areas where people have been living in densely populated areas. And of course, you know, I think it is also a time that people now are realizing that this is too much. We cannot travel, we are restricted. And what amazes me is that China is so successful in having these big ideals, technological advancement, and it is unable to curb COVID. Are people not vaccinated, or are the vaccines not effective, or is there cultural resistance to
these vaccines? So it's actually interesting, because I spoke to somebody in China as well to find out about this. And in fact, the numbers are quite high in terms of vaccinations. But when I probed a little bit deeper, it turns out that most of the vaccines that have been given were the Chinese vaccines. So it is possible that they were not effective in the same way that the others were.
You may recall that Sinopharm, the vaccine, was one of those vaccines that was taken through a very accelerated path through the WHO process, the World Health Organization process, at the initial stages. So it seemed that it has not been effective. And we must be mindful that even some of the European ones that we received, some people still got COVID. So that is not necessarily unique. But in terms of China, the large size of the population,
Unfortunately, Professor, the line is actually a terrible one. It's like you're clear and then very unclear, and it's a conversation I'd love to continue. We aren't going to be able to, we won't have the time to continue this morning, but certainly I'm going to ask Harry, my producer, to arrange for another discussion perhaps next week to talk a little bit further about China, because I think this is very relevant and it has a major impact. What happens in China really does impact us around the world. So it's definitely a conversation that I would love to continue.